You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs.
Whites are mindless stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers. All right, you name it.
Thug life.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Why are we talking?
I have a deal for you. You receive full pardon for every criminal action you've committed in the United States. It was an accident. About an hour ago, a small jet went down inside New York City. The president was on board.
President of what?
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I know you gentlemen have been through a lot, but when you find the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch!
I don't get this at all. I thought Low Pan.
Shut up, Mr. Burton! You are not brought upon this world to get it.
From a father to a son.
Get a job and buy it, shoot you.
Yeah, I can't believe I bought 4 of these. I've got like one in my bedroom, like as decoration.
Aids?
No. Just as decoration. They're not gonna get touched. I'm a UT mark.
I see.
And I admit that. So that's why I will wager.
No.
I will wager that this is like fucking runoff from Jester Showers. You know, that's all it is.
I'm scared, Californians. I think we're on top of a car that can be tanked.
Yeah, I probably. Like, no, I'm
weren't you in the picture you showed me? You were.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I was doing a double beer bong that I was being served by a USC fan.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. Yes, and they wanted me to ditch my friends and hang with them.
Heal the giant.
Even though I was mocking them all for looking like they were a part of Gryffindor. Because they all had those scars.
That's true. Yeah.
And,
where's your Matt Leiner now?
All
white, he's in good.
So, yes. But to clarify for those, I'm holding in my hand a bottle of H2 Orange, which is the UT brand of bottled water. And the bottle looks just like the UT Tower. Because I am a mark for UT.
Yes.
I decry the stupidity of bottled water ad nauseum, but
it's okay if you do. Mm-hmm. We have not 1. But 2 degrees from UT.
Yes, 2 degrees from UT, yes.
Entirely within your rights to bark out. For people who didn't go there,
yeah,
probably don't know where to find it, and don't know what that big building is.
It's people who didn't go there but say we. We're going to do this later.
Like, I went to Southwest Texas, it's still Southwest Texas, but I didn't go long enough. They threw me out, and they were called the Bobcats. So,
yeah.
I already wasn't in the Bobcats.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Right.
And they're...
And I will say this. This bottle of water tastes like tap water.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it is tap water. But according to this, it's, I don't know, got something. It's purified.
Oh.
Using active carbon, ion exchange, reverse osmosis, ozone, and or deionization. And or? I don't want that. I want ionization in my bottled water.
What, definite deionization.
Yeah. Although, in my mind, all this is a fancy little bottle that looks like the tower that was out my window for all those years.
May I?
Yes.
Compelling, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes, compelling listening.
See, we're actually going to do a show where it's just this.
Yeah, where it's just us looking at
we
this bottle.
We don't go on to anything else. Now, no, if, just random shit.
Have you seen the owl face on the tower?
Two and Steve?
Tim, maybe.
Tim?
Yeah.
And Steve.
Yeah. But what's they say that the tower was designed by somebody who went to Rice. Because if you look at the corner of it, eyes, nose, it's supposed to look like an owl.
Every building in Austin looks like an owl.
Yeah, all of them do. If there are clocks on it, it looks like an owl. Welcome back.
So anyway, there's a show we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about owls, despite my tattoo.
Yeah, it could be. It's actually about Memnock. Entirely.
Because I have an owl for the heart.
It's actually the owl from Harry Potter, the snow owl.
Yes.
Carrying a heart.
Yes.
Because snow owls are vicious, vicious, heartless killers.
That's right.
Speaking of, we're going to discuss John Carpenter today. And I think that I'm going to call the episode, If I Had a Hammer, I'd Be John Carpenter. Okay. But that might be...
I was going to say, my boss is a movie-making carpenter.
Oh! Yeah, you win. That's better.
Because I'm pretty sure he's not Jewish.
We're taking it. We're going with
that. I guess.
All right. So, we're discussing John Carpenter, the good, the bad, and the hideously ugly.
And believe
that
you
is
me,
Johnny Carpenter.
There's some hideously ugly John Carpenter. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, before we jump in, thefilmthugs@gmail.com, thefilmthugs.com on Facebook. We are still compiling. We need more audio and lists of movies and shit that you're divorcing. Filmmakers, all that stuff that you are fed the fuck up with and want nothing more to do with. You have to have liked them at one point. They can't be, you know, I couldn't talk about Diablo Cody because I've never fucking liked her, but I could talk about John Woo because I used to love him. That's what it is. You have to at one point have liked them or loved them, and now you've just fucking had enough.
If I can't draw heat, surely some bad films and or actors and or whatever can draw some heat.
Yeah.
And you can give that to us.
Yes.
And we will...
We'll play it.
Give it voice.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of people who listen, but we've got enough that
enough that have enough opinions to give us a list of the shit they don't like anymore.
And it'd be cool, you know, this is your chance to spend a very little time doing something and record it, or just send it to us and have a bunch of people you've never met hear your opinion.
And sports-themed bottles.
Mm-hmm. It's academic theme bottles.
Oh, yeah.
The original idea for the tower was it was going to be a library where you'd give your order to one person and it would be pneumatic tubed up where students on roller skates.
You have 2 degrees, I have
roller skating one. Students would get your books and send them down.
Excuse me, I have an associate's degree.
Ah, yes you do.
Applied science.
How many people were murdered from a building in the center of where you went to school?
Not as nearly as many as I had planned, I can tell you that.
Wow.
40 grand, my ass. Anyway.
So.
John Carpenter.
Johnny Carpenter, my boss, is a movie-making carpenter. Now, here's what's interesting. Before he even started making films, well, professionally, when he was at USC, one of the projects that he worked on as co-writer, editor, and composer, it was called The Resurrection of Bronco Billy, won an Academy Award for Best Live-Action Short Film.
Boom, just like that.
Yeah. Bam. Right out of the chute. He's and look at this, I think, speaks volumes to what Carpenter does. He wrote, edited, wrote the music for. That's how Johnny C. rolls. He does. He wears multiple hats.
He was doing that efficient filmmaking thing way before Robert Rodriguez was itching his dead as pants. Well,
not really.
Probably.
Probably around the same time. Yeah, post-itch.
Anyway.
Okay. So, let's go through. Now, what's weird is we have an aborted version of this show that we recorded.
Oh, man.
The first night we did shows, we put down the first three, and we're like, just
did we
enough.
Did three or four?
We did, I think we only did three. We might have done four. No, we only did three, because it wasn't until we tried the St. Patrick's Day show that we did five in one night. And that's what killed that one.
Good thinking there.
Yeah. We did our Oscar movies we love, movies we hate were the first ones that we did. Those are the first three that we did. And then at the end, you and I were on this butt. We were drunk. We'd had fun recording the shows. You're like, hey, let's do another one. Just print up a filmography and we'll talk.
You're a pretty girl.
And then boom, John Carpenter and...
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well. So we're going to go back and do it again. And hopefully it will have better results. Since we recorded that one, I had said, before we do this, I'm going to go back, I'm going to rewatch some of the Carpenter, I'm going to watch some shit that I haven't seen yet.
Uh-huh.
This week I was going to be like, dude, I'm out with my second wisdom tooth operation, I'm on Vicodin, I'm going to watch Cigarette Burns and Pro-Life and fucking Dark Star and Star... None of it happened.
No. And you'd need fucking heroin and mescaline and fucking some drugs that aren't invented yet. That weird shit in Alien Nation.
Yeah.
And that blue brick crap in Harley Davidson, the Marlboro Man.
What the Onion, when the Onion did a report years ago called CIA unveils new ghetto drugs.
Right.
And one of them was called Brain Scratch.
There you go.
I think you need a lot of Brain Scratch.
Brain Scratch and drug cigarettes.
Drug cigarettes. Some of VJ's patented drug cigarettes.
Right.
So, I didn't. So this is going to be a definite division between shit you've seen, shit I've seen, shit neither of us have seen.
And shit no one should
shit
see.
No one should see ever. So with that being said, let's dive in here and look at what we began with, which is Dark Star.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm told, I'm not missing a whole lot.
Not really. It's a curio of sci-fi filmmaking.
Mm.
It's one of those things that completists, like myself, that I've slowly molted out of, but used to be.
Isn't it great when you hit the age that you're not a fucking completist anymore?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
when you can just say, no, I don't have to watch that.
I don't have to watch that. I can just watch what I like.
Yeah.
And to hell with it,
yes.
Despite what everyone's saying. Well, you have to.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah, I don't need to. I don't care anymore.
No, I really don't want to.
But I saw this thing, and it's an odd little piece of filmmaking. It's not necessarily awful.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily good.
For a first film...
It's cream of wheat.
It's cream of wheat. Okay. So he started off where most filmmakers do.
Yeah.
You're going to hit an average. Going to hit an average. Okay. At the Mendoza line.
And at the time, you know, sci-fi was really hot, so he just kind of threw his hat in the ring.
Yeah. Mendoza, you get that reference, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure that you were like, what the fuck is Dirty?
It's not quite, doesn't quite have the fun of Battle Beyond the Stars.
Okay, there we go. Oh, nice. Battle Beyond the Stars, actually, Brian, somebody gave him a poster for that. And all that I noticed is that they've got a spaceship in it that looks like enormous breasts.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Everywhere it goes, something reminds me of it.
And it's just... It's not even subtle. It's like, wow, that looks like big cleavage that flies through space.
I think that's the name of the ship, actually.
Well, then, I'm psychic, so...
There you go.
Next, he kind of upped his game a little with Assault on Precinct 13.
Oh, boy, did he.
Yeah. Ballsy, I think, is a word for this. Because that movie, I know they remade it, but they could never really remake this for one reason only. One reason will keep this movie from being remade.
Shot that kid.
They
shot that kid.
Fucking a lot. Graveyard
Actually,
dead.
Actually, shot him once. Her once.
Her. The little
killed
kid
the fuck out of her.
Who wanted ice cream
right.
got fucking killed. Why? Because
even my jaded horror film Carpenter ass, I actually didn't see that till way later.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And was like, oh my God. Kill the kid.
Yeah. Like, duh?
Not just, got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Shot by a truck, but...
A child just got murdered.
Anyway, that movie is very superior to the remake in many ways.
Yeah.
Including the main character who keeps asking for a cigarette.
Well, what's weird to me... Well, not weird. Interesting. Cool to me about it is that it's sort of a blend of, like, sci-fi and Western...
Yes, because there's no real reason for these people to be attacking the jail on its last night.
Yeah.
Other than, I guess, Napoleon and the character Napoleon and just because that's
no,
what they
no,
do?
No, from what I gathered, from what I remember, it's what, they kill that guy's daughter, and then he does something about it, and they chase him, and that is that leads to the attack, but...
I don't know. It's a retribution by the street criminals that seems a bit over the top.
Yes, a slight bit over the top.
And it's almost sci-fi zombie-esque in their retribution, because they just keep coming. They're everywhere and watch out. Well,
and it's got that western feel, because it's got that sort of frontier, like this outpost that's in the Badlands. But at the same time, it's kind of got that western vibe, that sci-fi vibe, like, oh, they're on this odd forbidden planet somewhere that no one can reach, and we're... So...
Probably Carpenter was trying to say that these bloodthirsty criminals were Indians, because he really hates Native Americans.
I think so. He's been vehement about that.
That's a fact.
That's science. You can look it up somewhere. Not a blog.
In my opinion,
like Alex Jones. I found these documents on the internet. Funny story. I'm going to go off on an aside here. My friend Ben, we're talking about weird, crazy conspiracy theories, because you're this woman who did a show on Halloween.
All
it was
of
like.
Them.
Yeah, there's a woman who was doing a Halloween show, like a show about Halloween, and totally normal. Okay. Then as they go to break, she says, just remember that there are Satanists out there who kidnap children for sacrifice on Halloween. It happens to millions of people every year. And then goes to break. Like,
so there.
What? What? And we talked about Alex Jones, and I said, well, have you ever heard of David Icke? And he's like... No, I don't know who that is. Oh, I look it up, and I show a picture, and he goes, reptilian shapeshifters?
Oh, it's
like,
yeah,
but he goes, a friend of mine had to sue someone about that. I said, what? Because some dude posted on his website that a friend of mine was a reptilian shapeshifter, and it blew up.
Oh, man.
Had to fucking sue somebody over it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, you are. What? By the way, we are.
Yes.
We are both reptilian shapeshifters.
I have a owl tattoo reminiscent of the Bohemian Grove with an all-seeing eye.
Yes.
And Masonic and German symbols on it. So
sweet.
Stay away.
I have
you crazy Alex Jonian.
I have a tattoo of a Celtic cross.
That's right. And it could look like a white power cross.
It could, but it doesn't. Isn't. Yeah. Anyway, going back to this,
no, let's keep going.
Let's keep going. I think we have a new welcome to season three.
Did
of the
I mention
film
my
thugs.
Baphomet?
Welcome to the season three of the Film Thugs. Crazy occult nonsense.
And my random tattoo.
But no, Carpenter with this, it was to me showing like what is left that we have in modern society that is like some sort of alien culture. So let's go with the street toughs that we don't understand, and give them some odd, like, because there was some weird symbolism shit where, you know, here's a totem that we're going to leave that lets you know we're going to wipe you the shit out. And
Yeah. He visits us again in another film we'll mention later on.
Really strong, solid. I mean, and you look at it, it's not the greatest thing ever, but for a second film, it's a definite statement on what I can do.
Yeah, it shows a definite stamp of style.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of films weren't doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. They hinted at this, they hinted at that, but he just went for the throat.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Here is me creating my fucking world.
This is what I have to say, and I'm going to say the shit out of it.
And then he stopped doing that entirely for his next film. He said, I don't need an individual style. I don't need to do something original. I'll just make a movie about Halloween.
Which,
mm-hmm.
He had talked to Bob Clark.
Yeah.
About Black Christmas. And according to Bob Clark, he had said, well, what would you do for a sequel for Black Christmas? He said, well, I'll probably set it around Halloween. Light bulb.
Ba-bing. Yeah.
And so the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the birth of Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween got the credit as being one of the first slasher, blah, 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 and got all the accolades, but Black Christmas was first.
Right.
Do I have to bring this up again? Blah, blah, blah. By the way, Zardoz.
Oh, man. But Halloween definitely took it in a new and interesting direction.
Oh, no. It's its own film. It's not derivative of Black Christmas.
I will say, like, I am not... I'm not one of those. I don't prefer the Rob Zombie remake, but I do like some of the stuff he did in the remake. You know me, I'm a sucker for backstory. I like knowing where they come from. What I enjoyed about the remake is everything is given meaning. The mask is given meaning. Who he grows into is given meaning. That's the only part that I really, really prefer. And the way he kills Trejo in that, where he's trying to like, come on, Michael, it's me. I've known, and, but no.
No.
You're still gone. But which also, was better than that creepy director's cut with the fucking hardcore rape scene in it.
But also, had that been the first movie, it probably wouldn't have had that much impact. But because the legend status, quote unquote, of Halloween, you have been hearing about it your entire life and seeing it off and on growing up on cable and Halloween, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But when that finally gave you some backstory, it was because of the legendary status that you're interested at all.
So much, yeah.
Otherwise, and who gives a shit?
To me, if the first Halloween had given us that background, it would have been like showing us what was inside the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Right, right.
That mystery, that question, nothing is going to be enough for what's happening there.
Yeah.
It's...
And, you know, the backstory didn't satisfy everybody, but how could it?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm going to make this, stand on this and go.
Well, what's striking about the original Halloween is that Michael Myers is not the name of the killer in that if you go by the credits.
Right.
The figure.
Right.
And Carpenter, that's Carpenter to me? No, it's not a person. This is not a character. This is a figure.
That's it. By the way, the second Halloween that Rob Zombie made was awful.
Didn't see it, didn't care to.
Turned it off half an hour in. It was awful.
I do like that Carpenter didn't take much of a part in Halloween 2 because he said, I don't want to make the fucking same movie again.
Nope,
I don't want to.
Halloween 3, boy. Yeah. Season of the Witch.
Season.
Hot damn.
Of the Witch. Which, he wasn't really involved in that too much. I think he took like Purdue. He's like, oh, I will do the positions that will give me money.
Hmm. It was meant to be a series.
Yeah.
Meant to be a series of your Halloween that would come out of a different movie just under the Halloween banner. But it didn't take off because Halloween 3 was so stupid.
Yeah.
Or awesome, depending on your perspective.
Halloween. Silver Shamrock.
The masks are powered by shards of Stonehenge.
Yeah.
How didn't this take off every year?
Well,
that's okay. We have Saw now.
With that narrow thinking, sir, I still remember your reaction the first time I watched Saw with you when we had it 10 minutes in. I'm like, there's no reason for that body to be there. That's the killer. And you were okay, we're done.
Yeah.
What's weird here, though, Carpenter does 3 features, then 2 TV movies. One I haven't seen, Someone's Watching Me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elvis.
Right.
Elvis is important for one reason.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Begins one of the greatest cinematic partnerships ever. Bogey and Bacall? Meh. You know?
No.
Is there someone else and another person? Meh. A woman and a man? Schmeh.
No. Carpenter and Kurt Russell.
That's where it's at. And we are soon to get to the reason why. But let's start with The Fog, which I have not seen.
Ah, yes. The Fog. What any can I say about The Fog?
Is it
Adrian Barbeau is pretty.
Oh, Barbeau is nice.
Hal Holbrook plays a nice drunk priest.
Oh, cool.
Aren't they all? There's some skeletal phantom pirates that come back for things with the fog.
Does it have any relation to the Stephen King story? Or
not at all.
Okay.
With the fog, and there's a ghost.
Ghost pirates?
Ghost pirates.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah. And it's okay.
Uh-huh.
typically, I mean, it was just okay, and the remake was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
So... there you go.
And there was a Fog remake that was a remake of this that wasn't the one that was on the Stephen King story, right?
There was?
I think so. I don't know. Were you saying the Stephen King one was garbage or...
No, no. The Stephen King is The Mist.
Oh, The Mist. Never mind. Oh, shit. The Mist. Never...
Yeah.
I've been drinking a lot of Gatorade and Arnold Palmer's tonight. I'm beyond the loop.
Get right on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're
totally
very different things.
That's my bad. Yeah, my bad. Fog, Mist. I'm from
The Mist. The Mist is also a little better than the story.
Okay.
Because of the ending.
All right. Right.
Anyway.
So The Fog, forgettable. But then we hit Escape from New York.
Oh, boy.
You're
the Duke. You're number one.
Apparently in Japan, it's known as New York 1997.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Japan does wacky things with titles.
They do wacky things.
Yeah. You know what they called Army of Darkness? Captain Supermarket.
Awesome.
The hero you have seen before.
Okay, well, that's superior.
Yes, that is in every way superior. Escape from New York. That's one of the few dystopian things that I think got shit right in a really cool way, you know?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of dystopian futures.
Yeah. We don't get them right that often. We don't do them well very often.
Well, they're done a lot.
Yeah.
But... What we not with this much style.
Yeah, what we lack in quality, we make up for in quantity.
And a lot of them do a fine job, but they don't all have Lee Van Cleef.
Oh,
man, I'm ready to kick your ass out of this world, war hero.
Throwing Van Cleef and Kurt Russell into something?
With that distracting earring, like Harrison Ford.
Dudes of a certain age throwing the earring on, it's like a dog wearing clothes. There's some dignity lost.
There's something mysterious, and there's some kind of initiation into something else you're not quite sure of why he's wearing it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I think it's just this... I went through a phase when I wanted an earring. I'm not going to lie. It was called 8th grade.
Huh.
And that faded real quick. Faded about the same time that I realized having a ponytail wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. I broke the earring thing about 14 years ago.
Yeah, around 20 is the right age to do that.
Something like that. Anyway.
So.
But. This seems much like our.
Water
bottle. That's all you had to say kind of episode.
Yeah.
Escape from New York, if you're a film nerd, if you haven't seen this, why?
Why, yeah. Well, and that's one where it's style out the ass. I mean, and Carpenter is very good, big on, if you look through most of his shit, the shady hero.
Yes.
He doesn't like having his good guys be good guys. And this is the first time where it is evident, like over the top evident, that he likes to show that a bad guy with a moral center is better than a good guy who just does it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, because Plissken has a code. There ain't no question. Snake Plissken has a code that he follows.
Sure.
And that's what makes him so compelling. And I still, as much as I like this, I think that he just improves with his teaming up with Russell. Because the next thing they do is The Thing.
Oh, man.
And, holy shit.
Talk about groundbreaking.
Yeah, and talk about a movie that as a kid you say you like more than you really like. Because I'm supposed to like this movie, all the cool kids like it, and you watch it, and then you watch it as you get older, and you're like, holy crap,
yeah,
what on earth is this?
It is.
It's like watching Tex Avery animation when you're a little kid and laughing because of the funny stuff, and then getting older and going, this is funny because it's so over the top racist, right. And it's, oh my God.
Right.
I'm getting this on a whole other level.
It was one of those things that, when it came out and showed up on cable when you're a kid, you snuck in to watch it late and were like, oh, you heard all this. It was one of the first things really delivered in that department.
Yeah.
Like you heard a lot of like, oh, watch out for this and blah blah blah. But when you finally sat in and watched it, holy shit, what happened with that?
Yeah. And it's like you don't know what claustrophobia means, but you know what claustrophobia means.
Right.
I think the only movie that has a better job at conveying claustrophobia than this is Das Boot.
Yes. Well, and it's fucking 18 days long.
Yeah, yeah. So it really gets the claustrophobia down to you. But this, if you don't feel twitchy right away in this thing, then
and
what
for,
the hell?
For my friends Wayne and or Garland that may be listening, I realize you may have been through a lot, but if it's not too much trouble, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch!
God, that's such a great moment.
And scene.
And the whole bit at the end when they're just watching that fire die.
That's right.
And, what are you going to do?
Just die, like, motherfucker.
Yeah, and there's that resignation and no bitching. And what was it? Just sit here for a minute.
Yeah. Collect my thoughts.
Just collect my thoughts.
Not be taken over by creatures from beyond.
And that's what I dig is that it's we have to sacrifice ourselves to protect everyone.
Right.
And like nowadays, there'd have to be something where at the last minute a helicopter comes and beams them out, and that you can't today have your hero sitting there about moments away from freezing to death.
Right.
For the good of all mankind.
Can't have that. That would be too heroic.
Yes. Next up, we have one that I've seen parts of. It's Christine. Uh-huh. And doesn't that have Thornton Mellon's kid?
Yes.
In it? That's all I remember is it's got Thornton Mellon's kid.
As far as Stephen King adaptations go, and they're usually pretty ham-fisted, completely different from books and piss off the author.
Right.
Too bad, because Kubrick's was awesome, Stephen.
Yeah.
Tough shit. A maze is better than hedge lions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And you can... Hedge lions moving in a book are cool. In a movie, it's
kind of dumb.
It's kind of stupid.
Anyway, yeah.
It was
okay. It's just kind of a functional little film.
Right.
Without any real high spots.
Well, and there's one thing that has to be pointed out here. At Halloween, something interesting happened with his movies. The first two, Dark Star and Assault on Precinct 13, starting with Halloween, they officially began being referred to as John Carpenter's Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
John Carpenter's the fun. He's one of the only filmmakers that has that on all of them. And if you look through IMDb, the complete title of all of them are John Carpenter's whatever.
Right.
So Christine, John Carpenter's Christine, not Stephen King's Christine.
It's John's. It's mine now.
I just remember it being from that sort of era of let's just churn out any shit that we can. Cars are cool. Let's have cars do the killing.
Well, yeah.
And it was of that era, so...
It just happened to fall in the same time Steve wrote that book.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was never one of my favorite Stephen King books, and it wasn't one of my favorite movies, so... Yeah.
Well, and it's better than Who Made Who? What was that?
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive.
That he directed.
I told you about the preview for it, right? Him just in a leather jacket. Let me show you. It's really scary.
Yeah.
Really, Steve?
I put the Green Goblin's face on a giant truck.
The only thing I remember about that movie is a guy getting hit in the balls by a soda can. That's it. Now, Carpenter, in these early years, he did do some shit that was groundbreaking. And if I were to put down what I honestly think his most groundbreaking film is, in so much as just breaking from genre, going weird, doing original, interesting things, Starman.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I talk about just saying, you know sci-fi and alien movies? Yeah, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Let me twist this. Your expectations are completely blown away in this. I mean,
it was very different. I remember thinking, the first time I saw it, well, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah.
What subtlety?
Uh-huh.
Damn you, John.
Yeah, insane subtlety.
But as I got older, it got better, shockingly.
Yeah, surprisingly, amazingly, and some scenes in that, because to me, I think, like, I don't know dick about aliens. I'm not David Icke. I don't know anything about what aliens are going to do. But I would imagine that
if you make some shit up about it.
Oh, yeah.
You can make videos and make money off of it.
He makes... My friend Ben. Alex Jones is prolific. He has like 30 movies.
Oh, yeah.
But with this, I would imagine that if aliens were to come, it wouldn't be some massive force. It would be one or two reconnaissance guys that get sent here. And I love the way... Bridges in one of his best performances ever. Yeah. An alien who is trying to figure out us just by looking around. And the number of scenes in there where you see that he doesn't understand us. And you see, God, he shouldn't understand us. I mean, the scene with the deer is one of the greatest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because all he sees is a beautiful thing that's dead for no reason. And I don't understand that. And it's weird because it makes me wonder, well, what the hell is your planet like? I mean, do you
have delicious backstrap there?
Yeah.
Jack off? Do you not have delicious hogs that you can then kill next to the deer?
Yeah.
And process them together and make pan sausage?
Yeah.
Starman? Are your magic Benoit balls going to tell you that this meat is delicious?
It's true. I can't argue with you on that. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, that to me is sort of a valid question. I mean, there's this point that's trying to be made and blah, 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 blah. But in reality, you're like, well, you've never eaten meat? You poor bastard.
It's really good. This is friend awesome. From Beyond the Stars.
Yeah. You should try it.
You know what changes mind?
Sauce.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon. Oh, yeah. Bacon
it's
and
some... It's a beautiful creature. What is it? No, it's a fat thing with a little tail and ears. The bacon, man. Yeah. Try the bacon.
Some sea salt. I'll cut it up, mix it in with eggs, throw a little cheese on it.
You'll love it.
It'll be heaven. But the lack of understanding, the innocence that was brought with it, and the total, I don't get this. And then you add on to that, I'll make this thing that's beautiful and dead alive. And what is that amazing thing greeted with? Him getting knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I get what he's going for, and it's one of those things that as an adult, when you look at and you take a serious critical questioning to, you get the, well, what the fuck do they eat? They living off soy?
Yes.
Yeah? Sorry, nobody who's ever lived off soy is going to learn how to travel across the universe.
All advanced alien civilizations are vegetarians.
And they drink silk.
That's a fact.
I should have read a book.
Yeah.
Who knew? So Starman, to me, was... The more I look at it, the more I'm genuinely amazed at how...
No, it's very good.
...innovative it is, because it really is. Next, I have this theory that I've got when it comes to musicians and filmmakers and stuff like that. That is, when you come out with something that is so amazing, so brilliant, just the best you're going to do, you need to stop, you quit, change the name. Like... When Anthrax came out and sounded White Noise, quit. You're no longer Anthrax. You've got to have another name for the rest of your albums because you've reached the pinnacle. You are not going to do better.
Right.
You know, when Tarantino came out with Pulp Fiction, he's never going to top that, really, when it comes to everything. And to me, the 80s should have just stopped existing when Big Trouble in Little China came out.
You said.
Because nothing... in that decade was ever going to be as good. Forget about being better. It's like Sean Connery looks exactly the same now as he did 15 years ago. Because when you reach max level, you just can't level up anymore.
Right.
This, the 80s, okay, we're done. Thank you for showing up. We'll see you in 4 years, and we'll have something else then. But Big Trouble in Little China.
Neon Skulls. Chinese Black Magic. Fucking... Kim Cattrall.
David Lopan.
David Lopan.
You, which I'm still waiting for you to get the tattoo of.
It's coming.
Yeah. Okay. I have a poster, not a poster, but a printout of Jack Burton on my wall in my classroom.
Mm.
And it's right next to the picture of Charles Bronson that I have titled National Teacher of the Year.
Awesome.
And I offer extra credit to any student who can identify either of them.
Absolutely.
There's a motivational poster that I want to get. You know the ones with the black border that have like... You know,
yes.
Perseverance. There's one that's just got a picture of him with the tank top. It says, Jack Burton. He just wants his truck back. And I want Excellent. That for my wall. That is my mantra. He just wants his truck back. It is silly craziness, but every time I watch even a little bit of it, I'm like, no, we're not done yet.
Again, on my list of eminently rewatchable.
Yeah, eminently rewatchable. You can't dislike it.
No.
And have me make sense of anything you do. There was a woman I went out with. We went and saw a film print of it at the Draft House. And when it finished...
What now?
Yeah, she'd never seen it before.
Okay.
We watch it, finishes, and she goes... and then she says the quote that came out of her mouth so often that just made me cringe. Because it was her way of, I don't know what to say, but I want to criticize something. A bit style over substance.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's Big Trouble, Little China.
Yes. And that was when
what?
I knew.
What will come out no more?
What?
That style over substance? Substance?
Yeah, substance.
The hell?
How the hell did we do that?
The fucking beginning of the movie starts out with whatever. Lightning coming out of his hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Substance. Where is this woman?
She's long gone, man. Drove my truck right through him. How the hell did that happen?
Coming out of his mouth.
Everything in it, it's a movie that we need to do a commentary on.
Fine.
Because I will watch that thing anytime I get a chance. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, then this is another one of the rare. Stop listening to this and go purchase.
I believe this was in our
a copy.
Movies We Love.
Yes, this was in Movies We Love. Purchase. Don't rent. Purchase a copy of this film now. Just fucking do it. Yeah, it's big trouble. And if you don't like it, then there's something so wrong with you.
Province are you from? Wunan? My father must be a holy man. I must know. It's fantastic.
And the dialogue alone is it is the invention of the brilliant one-liner, or the introduction of that into my world. But innovation, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Burton is the sidekick.
Yep, that's right.
Dennis Dunn Wang, he's the hero. He's the badass. Jack Burton is the comic relief sidekick. And Carpenter was like, let's see what happens if we make that our main character.
Could not be done without Kurt Russell.
Oh, God, no.
Could not be done.
Oh, good Lord, no. There is not a single human being who has or will ever live who could be that. Not
and
at
fun
all.
Fun trivia, this was originally supposed to be the Buckaroo Banzai
versus the World Crime League.
And boy, am I glad that that didn't happen.
Yes. I have a theory. I don't know if I've posited my theory on the show before about Kurt Russell. He might be the greatest actor who ever lived.
You have.
Was this on the aborted Carpenter? Because I'm going to put it out again. We will never know if he's the greatest actor who ever lived, because he's the only actor who realizes how awesome his life is.
Yeah.
And how lucky he is to get to do this. And when he's not on set, he's just like, hey, this is awesome. You have interviews with him, and he's not, well, when I'm crafting my character, he's like, no, man, got to be on set and make a movie? Fuck yeah. This is awesome.
I would go so far as to say that it's entirely possible, if not likely, that Kurt Russell has never referred to acting as his craft.
No, God, no. It's my job. It's what I get to do. I have fun. He's awesome.
Yeah, that movie's just fantastic. Mm. It's a crowning achievement, in my opinion.
Yeah, everything about... I mean, when you have two guys using crystals to have giant neon samurai fighting each other in the air next
never
to a...
could beat me, Egg Shed.
Next to a giant neon skull that has an escalator coming out of the mouth, and it's not ridiculous...
Right.
You have achieved some ultra level of filmmaking brilliance that just mortal men cannot wrap their fucking heads around.
No, it's really awesome.
Every time I see it, I just get happy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Iggy Pop says, music is supposed to make you feel good. Movies are supposed to give you something, and this movie gives me something every time I see it. And I think its greatest contribution is the song that we used at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
Big Trouble in Little China. Yes, a song called Big Trouble in Little China that actually uses that in the chorus.
From the Coupe de Villes.
From the Coupe de Villes, with John wearing Kanye West sunglasses and a Benihana robe, playing bass with Screech's dad on keyboards doing backflips pretty much.
Like you do.
Yeah. It's just rock and roll. It's just fun, Clarkson.
In this case,
it is.
I accept that.
Yes. So, we will do a show exclusively on this before too long.
It's fantastic.
Yes. Now, I'm not going to say Carpenter falls to hell after this, but Big Trouble definitely was a high watermark. And not everything he's done after this is shit, but I think it's very safe to say that his best years are behind him at this point.
Yes.
Well behind him. I have never seen Prince of Darkness, and I don't really feel like I need to.
I have.
Yes.
Again, there is a certain, there's street folk outside that are concerned about the possible presence of the devil in liquid alien form, whatever, in this church.
Uh-huh.
And so he kind of revisits this whole... watch out for this neighborhood. These people are strange for no reason.
Right.
Or no reason that anyone in the cast understands. and many of the people viewing it don't understand. This has established kind of a cult following that I don't understand. And I never watch it with any kind of real enjoyment so much as I do as a scientist.
Okay.
Trying to understand what in the fuck is going on with this.
Yeah.
Because they posit like the devil had a father, and the father's from a different dimension, an alien. It's fucking just bizarre. And Pat Morita. Not Pat Morita. Hank Shin.
You had it. The way that I've heard this, the phrase that I would use for that is... A. Whitney Brown, back when he was on The Daily Show, he did an interview with this guy who came up with a new method of measurement that was based off of his name. It was like a universal, but it was like if you had like, you know, 2 inches is equal to 1 Campbell, and 13 metacambels is this and that, and it's just rambling thing. And he did this thing where he would keep going when he was asking a question. He said, there are people who would describe this as crazy, insane, bizarre, nuts, wacky.
Right.
The insane ramblings of a syphilitic mind. But and when what you just described, I think, could best be labeled the insane ramblings of a syphilitic mind.
Yes. It's a... Alice Cooper's in it.
So it's like a fever dream.
As one of, yeah, as just some random street weirdo or leader of the street weirdos that don't do anything, just stand there.
And play golf.
And eat giant hot dogs. It's just a... It seemed like an interesting idea that they really couldn't quite... Well, not quite. Couldn't transfer to film at all. So it just came off as there's just big green tube of goo that may be evil and possessing people. But John's just kind of... Like, just do this now.
It's sort of a fever dream, basically.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's just goddamn sense at all. It's fucking bizarre weirdness that someone's older brother said, look, Prince of Darkness is really good because it's John Carpenter, so you have to think it's really good too, kid. So that kid goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where Harry Knowles on Ain't It Bad News had one of his little animation things as this shadowy creature... Or figure outside of the church. It's fucking... What?
Yeah, okay.
Why did this achieve the status? Can I go on about this anymore?
But I'm gonna do a quick aside on the fever dream thing, because this just came to me, and I think you'll find it funny. Coworker's daughter. She's like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years old. And last year we're having a gathering. And I'm sitting there, and I have a nice glass of Jameson's. And I take a sip, and I look over at this little girl to say hi, and she does this. She looks at me, and she goes... Like, two, barely conscious of anything. And for those, this child looked me over in disgust. And I said later, she's got to be really smart, because normally a woman has to date me for at least 3 months before she knows enough to do that. Jump to, like, 2 months later, because she's like, yeah, my daughter had a fever last night. She's having this fever dream. And she goes, where's the big scary man? What? The big scary man from Susan's. So apparently I have invaded a child's fever nightmares.
Excellent.
Thus, Prince of Darkness.
There you go.
Now,
Gym of Darkness.
Gym of Darkness. Now, from here, John bounces back a little bit, but...
Prince of Darkness.
Thank you.
Prince End of Darkness.
End of show. We're done here.
Anyway.
From here, he bounces back somewhat, but almost more in a ironic... Not ironic, but more of a, I don't know, They Live.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic, but to me, I only saw it once and remember thinking, I don't understand this.
No, that's one of those things that doesn't really matter.
Mm.
Just understand that these aliens are putting messages in advertising.
See, the problem...
It was subliminal messages in advertising writ large.
The problem that I had with that is that it took too long to get to that point.
Yeah.
I remember watching the movie waiting for that, and... I stand by the statement I read somewhere that that film has the greatest fight about putting on sunglasses in the history of film.
Yes.
Because it's like a 10-minute fight.
Yeah, it goes on.
Over putting... Just put them on! Put them on! But you have a wrestler in the movie, you gotta get some wrestling in.
Sure.
You gotta have some tussling.
Roddy Piper, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was one of those that I remember seeing and thinking, I think I'm okay here.
There are two reasons that film was made. One, subliminal messages in advertising. And once you put these glasses on, they're not subliminal anymore. They're obvious.
Yeah.
Second, the line, I've come here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the fart scene in Blazing Saddles. That's why the movie got made, and this is the sequel.
I was going to say that it was made for two reasons, to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
Well,
and yeah, but yes.
That's it, really.
Well, that's good to know. And what's great about it is, if you look, there's two different titles. The poster title is They Live, with an exclamation point. But the official title is John Carpenter's They Live, no punctuation.
Huh.
So.
They're live.
Next, we've got something I never saw, and they tried pushing all over Showtime for a bit. Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
And that happened.
Yeah, that's all that I can understand. I remember they pushed the cool shit they did with the special effects about what happens when he eats or smokes and how gross it would be, but
whatever.
That ain't enough.
Utterly forgettable film.
Yeah, I never saw it. Like, seriously, I never saw it. Never saw a reason to. It seemed like they were trying to do drama with Chevy Chase in a weird sci-fi setting. And this...
That probably sounded like a really good idea when they were all drunk.
Yeah.
And hacking, you know, fleshing out the script. But, man, it's... Bleh.
I think a more apt title might be Memoirs of the Fucking Wheels Coming Off the Track.
Pretty much.
Because this is where...
They'd have to be on the track first.
If you look at it, John Feld is shit here. Some of these you might like, some of them not. They need a Body Bags, which is also known as John Carpenter Presents Mind Games.
That's the show, yeah.
Never saw it, never cared to. It's a TV, so... Then In the Mouth of Madness.
I like it.
I got the distinct...
The Batman soundtrack. I like it. It's a lot like that.
I like it. I got the distinct fever dream feeling watching this.
Yes.
Like, what I'm seeing seems like they did one of those round table story things, but with a film where you film this scene, and like, here's a basic idea. Go out, you're going to film this scene, you film 5 minutes, and then they put it all together in the end. And it was as though no one involved in the production had ever met beforehand. I know there was something about a book, and then some long period of time passes, and everything's gone to shit.
Yes.
And there's Sam Neill.
Yes. But they wrapped it around enough H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay.
To where madness and chaos are the order of the day.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm a huge Lovecraft mark.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So.
I was probably reading in a whole lot more than John ever meant to
right.
say. He just was fumbling around and ran into some shit and was like, yeah, so these fires, these tentacles, that sounds neat.
Yeah.
But to a Lovecraft fan, oh no, I know what that means. I'm a geek. Anyway, I liked the movie just fine. And it was definitely an uptick from his past work.
It just seems as though it was a downward trajectory this whole way through. And that, it's one of those
things. That was a tick up.
That was a tick up. Yeah, it is. It was, I forget the exact word from what the fuck, Trainspotting about Sean Connery. What I'm trying to say is that The Untouchables, while a quality film, was nothing but a slight detour on an otherwise steadily downward trajectory. And that's what this felt like, a little bit of an uptick.
Yeah.
Because Village of the Damned came out next. Yeah. And which, Mouth of Madness and Village of the Damned both came out in 1995. Both came out in 95. Damn. I never saw Village of the Damned.
Nah.
And never cared to, and didn't look like it made any sense, so I passed.
Nah.
And your statement says it all.
Nah.
Then John said, you know, I've done well with Kurt Russell before. I'll work with him again, but instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a computer, and I'm going to load the script to Escape from New York into it, and I'm going to do a search and replace. And I'm going to replace New York with Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and Bomb in a Briefcase with Virus, and President with President's Daughter.
And Pam Grier.
And bad Pam Grier. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Campbell. But it's essentially the same movie told very poorly.
Yes.
Very poorly. Now, yeah, but Escape from L.A., it's like everything cool and original and awesome about Escape from New York, just gone.
He went about to destroy.
Yeah, and... The worst part is, That is like the last thing he's done that's even been remotely in the neighborhood of a good movie.
Pretty much.
Because from here, if I told you that someone made a movie where James Woods played a vampire hunter,
well, that should be in.
Yeah, I'd be like, yes. But then if I told you that it was a John Carpenter movie where it's vampires that's somehow spelled with a dollar sign.
Yeah.
And the bad guy from Karate Kid 3 was going to be playing Dracula, who was really Judas.
Right.
You'd probably find it a little less cool.
Yes.
Carpenter, at his worst, tends to not edit and just throws as much shit in as he can. And there was so much happening with the Vatican and all, like... No. What?
It's just fucking... There were brief moments where you thought, oh, okay, I kind of like...
Yeah.
It's all pulled along by James Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep hoping because it's James Woods that things will eventually be cool. But they aren't.
I remember one line of dialogue from that movie almost verbatim where he was talking about shit to use to ward off vampires, and he said, everything you've been told is a lie. Garlic doesn't do anything, and if you show a cross to a vampire, all he'll do is bend you over and take a walk up your Strata Chocolata before he drains you.
Correct.
I seen that movie once in 1998, and I remember that chunk of dialogue. That is seared into my mind.
Probably the reason that film was made.
John was like, how can I put this in here?
I know, Strata Chocolata.
Strata Chocolata. I can have a spin-off cereal.
Right.
And I don't know. That's one of those movies that I look at and I see nothing good in it. I don't see how, on a conceptual level, it was seen as anything other than a shit-filled nightmare.
Jumps all over the place. It's... And we can pretty much gather most of these into that.
Yes. Ghost of Mars. I never saw. Man. Because it had species check after she decided to stop doing nudity, so there's really no interest in seeing... There's no need to see anything
with
hers.
Not good at all.
It was practical effects that looked like shit. I mean, you were aware you were seeing a model train.
I honestly don't know why that even happened.
Yeah. I've seen a total of like 12 seconds of it, and I was like, nah, no, I'm out, I'm good, I'm done. No. Now, the next two are actually Masters of Horror.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think that they should change it. Instead of having Masters of Horror in quotes, it should be Masters, quotes, of Horror.
Question
and
mark?
Then Horror in quotes, and then a question mark.
Absolutely.
So the only thing that shouldn't be in quotes is of.
Yes.
Question subtitled, what really happened to my baseball team? It's...
Yeah, Cigarette Burns is a little story about a movie that's apparently so scary and so terrifying and so demented. It's about the end of the world. And if you see it, you go crazy or some bullshit.
So it's In the Mouth of Madness, but with a movie instead
right,
of a book.
But the problem is, with this episodic television, you could have made a little story about... Wait a minute, they didn't have an angel chained up in the back. Anyway.
I don't know.
I'm talking to myself.
I'm somewhat more interested now.
Anyway. Oh, it's bullshit. Anyway, the point is, it's this terrible film that you can't possibly see because it'll do X to you.
Wait a minute.
It's really bad.
Wait a minute.
But.
No.
The problem is that John says, I can make that film. And so you see his idea of what'll make you crazy, lazy, and Patrick Swayze. Whatever. And it's not good at all. It's fucking stupid
as shit.
Crazy, lazy, and Patrick Swayze.
You said that like it's a real fucking thing.
No, it is.
There's people today. There's a gas song, garbage people. It's a movie.
I have a gift.
Crazy, lazy. That might need to be the name of an episode
whatever
at some point.
It
just shows his arrogance. Like, I can do that.
Yeah, I make that happen.
I can make that movie. Who cares? I can do that. Angel chain in the back. Patrick Swayze. watch me go.
Jump Wait. Down, bullshit. Turn around. It's Patrick bullshit. Swayze.
And the sad thing is, that's better than fucking Pro-Life.
I saw Pro-Life it Encore Video on the wall, and I didn't even see enough of it to see who directed it. I just thought, this is the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
Not only is it the worst thing John's ever done, it's the worst thing damn near anyone's ever done. It is shit.
Is it something to do with an aborted fetus that comes back or something?
This woman goes into an abortion clinic to get this kid taken out of her, and turns out to be the devil's son or a demon's son. The demon comes back to get it. It's fucking garbage.
Good lord.
It's like crushingly bad. So you can't believe that you used to like this director.
And what's weird is that sort of is true of all of the masters of horror. Because I remember watching one or two of them with you.
Yeah.
And just my mind going, fuck you, James.
Pretty much.
I'm done with you for a while. And yeah. So yeah, good to know. Now, Johnny has two things coming up. The Ward and L.A. Gothic. The Ward has something to do with a ghost scaring people in a mental hospital.
Oh.
And it has Jared Harris. Actually, I'm going to grab something here and give you IMDb plot descriptions of the upcomings from Monsieur Carpenter. The Ward. A thriller centered on an institutionalized young woman who becomes terrorized by a ghost. Only known actor in it is Jared Harris. You know who should be in it? I will be there opening day if it's that plot and it has Zach Bagans
from Ghost
and the Ghost and all of the Ghost Adventurers there to help this woman out.
Absolutely.
Renovating and hating slavery. And all, if you've never seen Ghost Adventures, do yourself a favor. It might be the funniest show ever.
It's really damn funny.
It's awesome. And the only thing that would make it better is if it had you and me and just a black dude on there like, hey, we hear that there's ghosts in that room.
I'm
you
out.
Guys should go in. Fuck that, you crazy.
I'm not going in there.
I'm leaving. Fuck you.
Want some tricep?
At some point we hear a noise and they want to go investigate, but they turn around and see like me on Clarkson's back charging down the hallway, busting through walls. Yeah, and the reason we say, and a black guy, is in movies... They've always got, go in there. The African-American community at large does not fuck around with supernatural stuff.
Smart.
Yeah, exactly. Eddie Murphy, too bad we can't stay. In real life, you have anywhere near that shit, like, fuck you, Matt, no way.
That is one of those times watching that show where I go, white people crazy.
Yeah. White people.
This place is haunted by the spirit of an ex-murderer who was chained to a wall for 30 years who ate kids. Let's go in there and fuck with him.
No, the best was when they said, this in the prison, this is the shower where an inmate was gang raped to death.
Yeah.
His ghost haunts here, and now we're going to leave this guy in there as a gift to them. And he looks around and goes, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Now let's look at L.A. Gothic. Five combined stories of horror centering on a vengeful ex-priest's efforts to protect his teenage daughter from the supernatural evils of L.A.'s dark side.
I can tell you about three things wrong with that sentence.
Just three?
Just three.
Good lord.
For now.
I really hate to say this, but I think John Carpenter is done. I think he is. I'm always, you know me, I'm ever the optimist. I'm always hoping that people can pull out of their tailspins.
Yeah.
But this is fucking, he has already killed Goose with the ejector seat. He ain't getting back in the plane.
No.
This is it. It's over. He's done.
You stick your missiles on his corpse.
Exactly. This is, Carpenter's, and it kills me because I do like John Carpenter. I do.
I loved him for a while. Couldn't do any wrong. Then he decided to do all of the wrong.
And what I loved was our Not Me, It's You, when you were like, I don't know how else to put it. I was like, John Carpenter? You were like, oh, yes.
Yeah. What can I tell you?
Yeah, Johnny fucked it up for us.
So. I mean, there's always a chance he could pull it out in the end. But
I don't
it's highly
see
unlikely.
The trend is showing that anything that could resemble taste... It's gone.
Yeah.
It is long gone on this guy.
Oh, well.
So.
But he made a lot of really good films.
He did.
And if you haven't seen the ones that we actually liked.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor.
It's we did sort of brush over a lot of them and didn't go too in depth just because it's hard to with a lot of them. I don't know. Carpenter is such an exercise in style that faded out. I mean, he was a guy who only had a certain amount in the tank, it looks like.
Yeah.
And for a while, it looked like he had a bottomless tank. Because you look at the run from Escape from New York to Thing, Starman, Big Trouble in Little China. Christine being the only weak point in there. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4 fucking movies within a 5-year period that were outstanding.
Yeah.
Very few people can do that.
Yeah, so that's why we're doing a show on him.
Yeah,
His good really does outweigh his bad. Mm-hmm. He just happened to do. The bad is just so bad.
What's weird about it is the bad is so bad and plentiful that to be able to say the good outweighs it lets you know just how good it is.
Right.
I don't know, man. So I'm going to try and write some reviews of these Carpenter things, especially the ones I haven't seen. Just go back, rewatch them, and write them because I need to get back into writing reviews. I'm no longer, you know, tooth numb and fucked up from that. I'm getting my stitches out tomorrow morning, so we should be back in business.
Right on.
In the meantime, tell us your thoughts at thefilmthugs@gmail.com, filmthugs on filmthugs.com, and all manner of other Facebook stuff. Also, record your It's Not Me, It's You breakup stuff. Send it to us, and we will put you out there for people to hear, and people will listen to you, and we will talk about what you have to say, and hopefully we'll have more to say than we did on this one. Because it seems like there were so many movies, we just had to kind of get through them, but man, God damn, John, I miss you. I do.
Come back, Johnny. We hope you get well soon.
Yes. So until then, I'm gonna drink me some Arnold Palmer's and get me some sleep, and you should do the same.
Yes.
Yes. So, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right, well, thank you for listening again. John Carpenter, interesting subject matter as always. Just to wrap you up, all of our music came from Big Trouble in Little China, including the immortal Coop DeVille's performing the title song, Big Trouble in Little China, which you're hearing right now. It's a classic. Do yourself a favor. Clips were from Escape from New York, Halloween, The Thing, and, of course, Big Trouble in Little China, and They Live. Thanks for checking us out, and come back next week. We don't know what we're doing, but we're pretty sure it'll be good. Take care. Take us away. Take us away.
That's it. Please stay for the end credits. If you're wondering who the best boy is, it's someone's nephew. Don't forget to validate your parking. And for all of you good people in the Midwest, I'm sorry we said fuck so much. Say goodnight.
Thanks again.
Now go. Vanish.
Did you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you? Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.